You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. We're going to talk our state's history.
I've sent the following wire to President Truman. My heartiest congratulations to you on your election.
I'm aware of my blackness, but I don't go around and look and see whether I'm different than someone else.
Fail a lot quickly, and then eventually you'll succeed.
I worry that the person who thought up Muzak may be thinking up something else.
This week, we have quite an interesting story involving an immigrant. His name was Raymond Holshay, an Upper Peninsula stagecoach robbery and brain surgery performed in prison. You could not script this story. And here is Rachel Clark with the Michigan History Center. So, Rachel, let's start at the beginning. Who was Raymond Holshay, and where was he born, and what brought him to the Great Lakes region?
Raymond Holshay, or Americanized version, Raymond Holshay, a lot of people pronounce it, was born in 1866 in Germany. He moved to Wisconsin when he was 15 to live with his uncle and work there. Ellis Island and Castle Garden records have him arriving May 26, 1882. And he worked there for a little bit and then started traveling west looking for work. At some point in time, apparently, he falls off of his horse and suffers a pretty traumatic brain injury. So he ends up back in Wisconsin trying to work, but he has a falling out with his uncle and ends up beginning his life of crime.
And from that injury, what kind of symptoms was he living with?
He starts to have seizures and blackouts. He's very angry. He has these fits of anger. Mm-hmm. And so those start to show up pretty quickly after his head injury.
Now, research by the Michigan History Center tells us all that Raymond has been called the last stagecoach robber in Michigan. So tell us what went down.
By the late 1880s, he's back in Wisconsin, and he's robbing stagecoaches and trains. He's becoming quite a pain for the Wisconsin authorities, and he coins himself Black Bart after a short book at the time.
Okay.
And in 1889, he makes his way into Gogebic County in western Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he holds up a stagecoach. But this time, as he's robbing the passengers, apparently somebody doesn't want to give him their money, and he ends up shooting them and killing them.
Ooh.
He spends a few days in the woods, and he's captured later in Republic, Michigan.
Do we have photographs of him? What do we know about what he looked like?
We do. We have the Archives of Michigan has a few photos of him after his capture. Because he was so renowned, not only in Wisconsin, but now he was the stagecoach robber in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Perhaps notorious is the word.
He was.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. So they took the opportunity to photograph him. So there is a photograph of him. It looks like he's sitting in a chair and handcuffed with the two men that captured him. But they also staged this photograph of him, and the archivists that worked on this research, the historians that worked on this research, and the exhibits people at the Michigan History Center, just they loved this story. And this photo in particular is interesting because he has a rifle in one hand, he has a sidearm and a holster on his hip, and then he's wearing a vest that's filled with shotgun shells. So he looks very sort of daunting and threatening, but the shells that he has in the vest don't fit either one of the guns that he has with him. So they weren't stupid. They didn't pose him with a gun and ammunition for the guns.
And sharp-eyed people noticed that was totally prop stuff.
They did. We have a few photos of him throughout his early time after he was arrested.
And we will have those photos posted on the Stateside page at michiganradio.org. So off to prison.
Yes.
And how did that go for him?
Not well. He's sentenced to two life sentences, one for murder and one for armed robbery, and he winds up in Marquette Prison. Within a year, he begins exhibiting violent outbursts. He takes a guard hostage, threatening to kill him. The guard escapes. He takes another prisoner hostage, and either a guard or the warden of the prison actually shoots him in the hand, and the prisoner gets away. Holshay is put in solitary confinement, and he goes on a hunger strike. So time in prison for him is just as violent as his life was, and it's not going well for him at all.
So they transfer him to Ionia Prison in November of 1893?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened there?
What they realize is part of his skull is caved in, most likely from that injury when he fell off the horse. And so they do surgery to repair that. They remove part of his skull and replace it with a metal plate to relieve the pressure on his brain. He stays in Ionia for about a year and then is transferred back to Marquette in July of 1894, where he becomes a model prisoner. He becomes the prison librarian. He works in arts programs. And he actually, while he was at Ionia, learned about photography. Photography in prisons was new in the 1890s, and he learns about that. So when he goes back to Marquette, he brings this newfound enjoyment in photography with him.
So that surgery which when you stop and you think about it, I'm sure neurosurgery in 1893 isn't particularly sophisticated, but clearly what happened and what the doctors and surgeons did to him helped him.
It did. He changes personalities entirely. He does become a model prisoner. He's given a lot more rights within the prison system, and he works in the library. He works with photography. He's no longer put in solitary confinement. He never has these outbursts anymore. So it very much changed his personality and his behavior.
And what about parole?
The warden of Marquette in 1912 recommends him for parole, and he receives it and is released in July of 1913. So he does end up getting paroled based on his behavior.
That's amazing when you stop and you think about what got him in prison. But it seems like there was an understanding that that behavior was based on medical trauma,
mm-hmm.
which actually to me seems pretty forward thinking. I mean, we're looking at that today as a reason people wind up behind bars.
It was Ionia Reformatory at that time. There was a hospital assigned to it. They really did look at different things back in the 1890s. 1900s, actually through the early 20th century, prisoners were moved from one location to another, especially if they were becoming a problem in one prison. You would just shift them to another prison in hopes that maybe they would behave differently. But with Ionia, because they had a hospital assigned to them or associated with them, they were able to look more at the medical side of issues, and Holtze was a prime example of that.
So after 24 years, he's released from prison. Tell us about his life and how it played out.
It's not very happy.
Oh, no.
Initially, I know. Initially, he does odd jobs on the farms. He opens a photography studio in Marquette because of his love for photography, and he's very talented at it. He opens a photography studio under the name Carl Paul, but it doesn't take long for people to figure out who he is, and he ends up having to close the studio down. By 1917, he's moved to Yellowstone Park, and he's selling photos to tourists. So he does that for a while. And then in the 1930s, he buys a cottage in Florida. And so he goes back and forth between Florida. He still comes back to Michigan to visit people and friends and family. And he does that for about another 20 years or so.
Where was his cottage in Florida?
His cottage was on Captiva Island in Florida.
Okay, he did want retreat.
Yes,
he truly did.
Very much.
How long did he live?
He lived until 1952. And unfortunately, he committed suicide at his cottage in Captiva Island.
This does sound like the script of some kind of a movie. And I guess he did get around. He took photographs, but you're right. On the whole, it was not a happy ending to his life, was it?
No, it wasn't.
The tale of Raymond Holtze, the last stagecoach robber in Michigan history, and his remarkable recovery. Rachel Clark is with the Michigan History Center. We always love talking history with you. Thank you so much for sharing this story with us, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me again.